Good morning and God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts and the 15th chapter. Acts chapter 15, if you would stand for the reading of the word, I will read verses 1 through 18. We're going to look at some other chapters in the book of Acts and do some reading here, and we'll call today's message, well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and we'll call today's message, The Day the Gospel Exploded. The biggest bomb that ever hit the earth was on this day. And it is still reverberating and sending shockwaves through people's hearts and converting souls. And its truth marches on. Now this, years after that event, they're holding a council and they ask a question. We read from Romans 10 this morning. We'll see it in Acts chapter 2 when we read that. And the truth about Pentecost, the promise of Pentecost, the power of Pentecost is that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what it's about. What should unite us, some people use to divide us, but let's be united about the truth bomb that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you're circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the necks of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. And all the assembly fell silent. And they listened again to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take for them a people for his name. And with these words, the prophet Amos agreed, just as it is written. After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, and the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. And Lord, it's been nearly 2,000 years, and all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I pray that some here and some that listen to this at some point would do that, regardless of who's preaching or what it is, when they are telling the truth of Jesus Christ. This is real. This is historical. This is evidentiary. This is not a mere experience. This is the truth. And I pray that the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ himself, would come and invade this place and my heart and my words through his word. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we saw Jesus ascended. We had Ascension Sunday. How Jesus ascended to his throne in heaven and how he was going to pour out the Holy Spirit on his disciples back on earth. Jesus is ruling and reigning in heaven and on earth, which we see through the growth of Christianity in the world. And it continues to this day, and it will continue till he comes back again with a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell forever. Amen. And the book of Acts details the spread of this kingdom. He rules everything now, but the manifestation of that rule through his people continues to this day. And that manifestation started at Pentecost, which we celebrate the week after we celebrate Ascension. Now, the events of Acts chapter 2 is what people normally talk about, and we'll read those in a moment when they think of Pentecost. And that pointed to the Old Testament feast back in the day with Moses and all of them. They celebrated Pentecost or Shavuot. Now, on that day, the Holy Spirit here came upon those 120 disciples who were gathered to pray and to wait on the promise of power that Jesus told them about. Jesus told them to wait on that power, and then they would go forth in that power to evangelize the world. And after 10 days of praying and waiting, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and 3,000 people were saved. And it just kept spreading. And the rest of the book of Acts details how Christianity began to spread like wildfire, even in the context of severe persecution. And it seemed like the more persecution there was, the greater this thing got. And what happened shortly before, during, and after Pentecost was the start of the most powerful movement in the history of the world. Pentecost was the start of a revolution. This is the day that the greatest bomb that has ever hit earth detonated for King Jesus and his kingdom. The gospel exploded onto the scene, and the glorious promise of Pentecost continues, the promise that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pentecost is the birth of the New Testament church and the birth of the missionary movement. It's the birth of unity, Jew and Gentile. The walls had been broken down, and all of God's people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. So just like we saw last week with Revelation chapter 5. And so to that I say, happy birthday. Now before we get to our text in Acts 15, let's set the stage. Turn to Acts chapter 1 and let me read verses 4 through 8. And Jesus had risen from the dead. And for 40 days he was showing many infallible proofs. And verse 4 says, while staying with them, and he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they did come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is the thesis statement for the book of Acts, and what you see in Acts 2, 8, 10, and 19 is exactly that. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and we'll discuss that in a moment. But would they receive power to restore the kingdom to Israel? No. They would receive power to spread the kingdom of God. They were missing the point of Pentecost, but they would get it after they got that power. Now turn to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 21. And it's a little bit long here, but this is what people typically talk about, and they focus on these tongues and all this incredible stuff. And the thing about that is it was showing you that the gospel was for everybody, not that we're supposed to speak in tongues. These were language, dialectos, all right, and glossa. These words, they're talking about human languages, you know, like it's your native tongue, get it? All right, so what was happening is that in Acts chapter 2, Jerusalem, Acts chapter 8, Samaria, Acts chapter 10, Judea, remember the Gentiles, and Acts chapter 19, Ephesus, which is in Turkey 25 years later in the transitional period. As the gospel spread, that mark was showing all people who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That was the point. Don't miss the point. And that point's been made. We still spread the gospel out, but the miracle is salvation itself. Now let me read this, and let's talk about this, and I don't want to be contentious at all. I want us to focus on the big picture of Pentecost. We've talked about this many times. Just every year, every other year, we'll do Ascension and Pentecost sermons to get you in line with this. But when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. This was 120 people. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia. Egypt and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene and the visitors from Rome. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, and here's the question of Pentecost, and it's still the same today. What does this mean? But others mocking said, "These are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants," that's slaves, "in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven and above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day, and it shall come to pass." What does this mean? "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you see, the power Jesus spoke of came upon those who had been praying and waiting. And it was the power to fulfill what we call the Great Commission. The many varied tongues or languages spoken were a manifestation of the truth that the gospel was for all people. The question people have about Pentecost today is the same as it was back then. What does this mean? In Acts 2:21, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," which we read this morning in Romans 10:13. Amen. The promise of Pentecost doesn't need to be made again with the manifestation of tongues. That we can do separate questions and all that. Just don't get off the main point here. We know the gospel is for all people, and we continue to spread the good news of God's saving grace. And again, as I mentioned before, the narratives in Acts 2, 8, 10, and 19 are the fulfillment of what Jesus had promised in Acts 1:8, the thesis statement for the whole book. They did witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the known world. The Jews of Jerusalem, that's what we see in Acts chapter 2. The hated, half-breed Samaritans, that's Acts chapter 8. They couldn't have believed that. And even when Philip did, and people were doing, they had to send James and John, they had to, you know, they got to figure this thing. Is this thing real? And as they were finding out, then by the time we get to Acts 15, even before Acts 19, they're like, come on, is this real? Is this, people don't have to follow Moses and get circumcised? It's just about believing in Jesus? And Peter and Paul and Barnabas said, yeah. The same thing that we saw back there 20 years ago is the same thing that's happening now. And so even the New Testament transitional period between old and new in Acts 19, again, all the way in Turkey and Ephesus, all were included. There weren't planes and trains back then or automobiles. They were all included in the manifestation of unity and spread of the gospel. Salvation was for all nations, tribes, and tongues, as we see in Revelation 5:9 and Revelation 7:9. The tongues were a sign that God was not going to work through just one nation any longer. God is going to build his church through the whole world. Acts 2 marked the beginning of the transition. Jews were still being saved, of course, because 3,000 Jews were saved on the day of Pentecost. But the good news was going to go around the world to all people. Hallelujah. Salvation had gone from being a Jewish possession and has come to all who call on the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, "For in one spirit," capital S, "we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one," again, capital S, "spirit." This is not about some post-conversion experience. Every person who is saved by Jesus shares in the promise of Pentecost, and they have the Holy Spirit. All of God's children, those who've been saved by Jesus Christ, we all have the Holy Spirit. Amen? To say that some Christians have the Holy Spirit, but others don't, is to miss the point of Pentecost. Pentecost means there isn't haves and have-nots. It's all haves. Amen. And now to our text. Acts chapter 15. And we read it. This was known again as the Jerusalem Council. The council was held at Jerusalem near 20 years after the events of Acts 2. Hey, listen, it's not about your experience, even though we're talking about experience in Pentecost. It's about the truth. The Mormons can say, oh, you know, I prayed about it. I had this burning in my bosom and an experience and all that. This is about the historical. Jesus, this thing is real. It is historical, right? The Bible attests to it. People attest to it. But the fact is, Jesus rose from the dead, and that's what matters. When it comes right down to it, my testimony does not matter. The truth is what matters. Our testimony adds to it. It adds weight. And I know everybody wants to hear that, but we need to dissuade them sometimes off of that, because otherwise people, you can just have an experience anyway. Well, that's your truth. What is the truth? Jesus had the definite article. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one is coming to the Father except through me. And this was proof of that, and it exploded on the scene. And so all these Jews were like, no, 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 you got to do this, you got to do that. And it's like, no, no, you don't. And then the Samaritans can't possibly, they're the ones that cheated, they're this, they're that. Oh, yes, they are in. The Gentiles, you must be kidding me. Oh, yeah. These people all the way out here and things like, oh, yeah. And so in Acts chapter 15, they were holding the council, because it's like, can this really be true? Is this really what's going on? So this council, again, was held at Jerusalem near 20 years after the events of Acts 2. And after the Gentiles had come to know Christ, this was when Peter was talking, which we read in verse 7 through 11. He's talking about the Acts 10 experience. Remember, he had a dream, and a sheet came down with all kinds of pork on it when he was on the roof. And he goes, no way. And God said, don't you dare call unclean what I have made clean. And so he went. And boom, the same kind of evidence right there. It was a beautiful thing. And this has happened. Now we have faith. We don't have to see certain things happen. We know what the truth is. Amen. To focus on the other is to miss the point. In verses 7 through 11, again, Peter gave confirmation of his Acts 10 experience, which was about 10 years earlier and 10 years after Acts chapter 2. And then in verse 16 through 18, James, who wrote the epistle that we're studying on Sunday nights, but he was the brother of Jesus, and he's the leader of the church in Jerusalem, he applies the prophecy of Amos 9, verse 11 and 12 to the situation, quoting it directly. Don't miss the point of Pentecost. Pentecost is cause for a continual celebration, not because of tongues, but because it was the day the gospel exploded and is the reason for the missionary work that continues today. And it is a great amount of tongues, Spanish, English, Mandarin, Greek, whatever language there is. All nations, tribes, and tongues. The great cloud of witnesses is still going strong and getting bigger every day. The spread of the gospel to every nation, tribe, and tongue. The truth that everyone, hallelujah, who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The glorious promise of Pentecost continues. The Jerusalem Council was about one question. Are other people groups being saved without following the Jewish law? And the answer was a resounding yes. Now, here's the thing about this. It goes a little deeper than that, and we read about it. Peter in Acts 2, 14 through 18 refers to the Old Testament prophecy of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, and shows us that not only are all people groups potentially included, but all gender, age, and social status are as well. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That obviously doesn't mean every single person, obviously, but all gender, age, and social status are included. And we know because he says, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, talk about Jesus. And your young men shall see visions, do things for Jesus. And your old men shall dream dreams, think about Jesus. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, preach the truth of Jesus, tell forth the mighty works of God. If God saved me, and he can save anybody, hallelujah. And that is testimony. And that is witness. And you know what? That type of power, that's what we see Paul commanding Titus in Titus 2, 2 through 11. The different genders, the ages, the classes, the roles. And this is what we see in this local church. Children coming to Jesus. Young men planning a work for Jesus. Families working for Jesus on the mission field. Old people witnessing to the worth of Jesus. People in bondage being set free by Jesus. Think about that. You are the evidence of Pentecost. God still does supernatural things. You know why? Because it takes supernatural power of God to deliver people in this day of darkness. People can make intellectual decisions and do all this, that, and the other thing, but if God doesn't invade their hearts by the Holy Spirit, then they'll turn back. But if God does, they can't. Oh, they can a little bit, but then God says, spank, spank, turn around, look over here, I love you. Right? Come up here. Isn't that the way it is? There is hope for your children. There is hope for your grandchildren. There's hope for you. If you don't believe that God changes people, you have no hope for yourself or the world or anybody else. But he does. And those experiences are what point to the truth. God still does supernatural things all the time. I've seen unexplainable healings that had to be God. Don't say I don't pray to heal people. I pray for God to heal people. And he does. And I've seen it. I fell off a ladder putting up this curtain rod and painting this thing straight down on the back of one of the chairs, and they thought I busted my spleen, and that was it. And that's after my first heart attack and my stroke, before my second heart attack. And them, and it, my wife's here, she could testify. They were saying, because the thing, I came out every hole. Ears, eyes, nose, throat, backside, front side. Something was coming out of everything. It was bad. But I prayed, you guys prayed, and by the time I walked out of there, it was just bruise. Praise God. Maybe just bruise their ego, I don't know. Bruise mine, man, it hurt for a few days, but praise God. I've seen things like that. I was on the mission field shortly before I came to this church, and I prayed over a woman who was 16 years old. Her legs were the size of toothpicks. She had never walked before, and she walked. And as far as I know, she walks today. And does God do that thing every time? No. No, we don't make it happen. We don't say, I know it's going to happen, and if we don't say that, then it won't happen. That ain't faith. Faith is, I'm going to do it whether my goals are met or not, because Jesus is worth it. I've seen people be delivered from demons right where I'm standing. As a matter of fact, Ed and I are right here, and that one girl came up, and boy, she was possessed. And, you know, she got it from her family. I mean, it was just, oh, we've seen these things. Have you ever seen it? I've seen impossible things, but nothing is greater than a person being born again, transferred from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That's the promise of Pentecost. All these other things are attendant to that. Some of these things don't need to happen for us to believe. Nothing needs to happen except for let there be light. You know, Generation Z doesn't need to know your testimony and your experience as much as it needs to know, did Jesus actually rise from the dead? I don't care what youth you believe. I want to care what the truth is. That's what matters. And there's such incredible evidence for this. But this is an historical, biblical, real, evidentiary type of thing. Oh, my goodness. I've seen the power of God. It's the power of God that takes a lazy, lying loser of a man and turns him into a soldier for Christ. It's the power of God that takes a beaten down and abused woman that is cast out and ignored by people and makes her precious jewel that shines with the love for and from Jesus. The power of God is the reason that a young family wants to spend their lives in service to the Lord. It's the power of God when an old person who can walk barely and can't even hardly talk still wants to hear the word preached and to hear people sing, even if they can't. It's the power of God that makes someone leave their sin and selfishness and lay down their life for the sake of the gospel. The evidence for the truth of Pentecost is all around us. There was evidence, and there is still evidence. You are the evidence of Pentecost. God in Christ has broken down all the racial... We don't see it now, do we? But we ought to see it more in the church than we do. And as God's Spirit is moving and we yield to that, we will see that. It's not just go along to get along. It's the most important thing in the universe. It's the most important thing about you and the most important thing about me. This is Philippians 4 when he said, let these ladies get along. It doesn't matter what color the church is. They're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. He's broken down all. The problem with the church is always this. Jesus is not all or is not in all. But all racial, gender, age, and social barriers have been broken down in Christ. Colossians 3:11 says it this way. Here, that's the church, that's the body of Christ, is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. What started at Pentecost has not stopped. The spread of the gospel to every nation, tribe, and tongue, to every gender, age, and social status. The truth that everyone who calls upon of the name of the Lord Jesus, will be saved. So what now? The Apostle Peter addresses you in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39, when he finishes that sermon. Listen to what happened. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Believe in the promise of Pentecost. Call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, I believe it. And even if I don't believe it, it's still true. And I thank you that Pentecost continues. And I say, whoever that last one is that you're calling to yourself, I want it to be millions and billions, and we've talked about that, and we've prayed about that, and we've preached about that, and we see it in your word, and I believe there's another revival, a huge one that's going to encircle the earth. Even so, I say, come, Lord Jesus, in your name we give thanks, and we pray, amen.